Hello everyone, Shapiro here. Welcome to Shapi Cars, where we talk about happy cars and natural hair care. First of all, let me welcome you again officially, in case you happen to be one of my loyal listeners or you also happen to be new here. Karibu sana. And I also want to appreciate you all for the feedback on my first episode. It was nice feedback, and in case you feel like you need to tell me something after you listen to my podcast, you can leave a message on my page and I will listen. Okay, so today we're going to talk about transition, because we had talked about Curly Hair 101, where you need to have some things and also know some things. And also, as I told you guys, it's going to be a journey, and so I'm going to come to the second part of it where we start the transitioning, because some of my friends were telling me, hey Shaps, my hair has some straight things going on, and honestly, and I realized that some of us don't know where to start, when to start, what to do, and how to reach their targets, because not everyone wants to do a big chop. Personally, I didn't do a big chop. My transition journey was quite oblivious. I didn't know that I was doing a transition, because I was washing my hair and then I see these straight ends looking funny and the rest of my hair is just curly. So I was getting frustrated and I had started using some natural hair products. Honestly, I can say that I knew what I was doing. I had no clue, but what I knew is that I had to get rid of those straight thingies going on my scalp. And I decided to just do a small big chop, because the length that was straight was as long as half my finger, and that is long to me because I'm used to having long hair. Okay, not extremely long hair, but you know, length sometimes is quite a tricky thing for most of us, I understand. And so I decided to like cut my hair in bits so that I cannot have that loss of length that I dreaded so badly. So for me, I was in high school. I started my transition around 3 years ago, so I was still in high school. Na bado tuko tuna straighten nywele yetu. Like, our school, you had to be neat, and I didn't want my hair chopped off. I mean, no. So I just continued straightening it, but I knew what I was doing beneath it. Beneath all that, you know, cover up with the straightening, just to be uniform at school. And another thing is that when I finished my high school, I made sure that I'm going to chop those dead ends off. So I would still do my straightening. And you can imagine, I was doing my transition all wrong, but I got it correct somehow. So I was doing my Katani transition again back in campus. My classmates can tell you I had this messy hair. I used to wear my hair messy, blow dry, not because I love having messy hair, but because I didn't want to expose my hair to too much heat. And another thing was that my hair was going through a transition and it looked bad because my dead ends were still there, and I did not want like to have them lacking around and even asking, what's going on with your hair? Because trust me, in campus, some people have some really nice curly hair, and just imagine me popping in with those dead ends on my hair would be just demoralizing for me, because personally, my hair is one of my biggest pride. I love my hair, and I understand that most of us actually do love their hair as much, and that's why I'm here devoting myself to help you love your hair. I'm here to rekindle that relationship between you and your hair. I'm here to help you understand the hair journey that you're about to undertake. So for me, I accomplished my mission officially this year on April, And that's when I completed my transition. My transition was approximately 3 years old. And I'm not saying that everybody should be like me, but I'm just saying, if in case you don't want to do a big chop, no one is asking you to, no one is forcing you to indulge in a big chop, because not everyone is used to living with short hair, not everyone is accustomed to having little to no hair at all on their scalp. Wengine wetu, we have that head shape that doesn't really correspond nicely, if I'm going to put it in a less offensive way. Yeah, because you understand what's going on in your head. So whether you do a big chop or not, it's your decision. So when do you start? Start when you are ready. Your hair might be relaxed or heat damaged, but trust me, when you start when you're ready, it means that you are ready to invest emotion and your mind and your thoughts and your most of your and also your money in this process. But when you start just because everyone is doing it, eventually you're going to get tired, and when you get tired, it will be pointless. You utarudi tu pale umetoka, you won't have a purpose. And when you start it, you should have a process. I have had some people ask me, yo homegirl, so what product do I use on my hair? I realized that for you to get healthy hair, it's not really about the product, it's about the process. That's why I'll tell most of you to trust the process. Don't sit down thinking that when I use Kanto products on my hair is going to grow. Ama when I use Mikala on my hair, or Marini, or Mozzara, or this or that, that my hair is going to grow. No, those products are there to make your hair more manageable and your life easier. However, the best way to get that length and to get whatever you really want from your hair journey is the process. There are some procedures you need to undertake so that you can have healthy hair. And those procedures, like I listed them out, are moisturizing your hair, co-washing, using the conditioner. A conditioner is a top tier because it's mostly used for moisturizing, doing twist outs, stroke braid outs. Another thing I mentioned was deep condition regularly, and also take progress pictures for motivation and to remind yourself where you came from and where you want to go. Another thing is that you should also partake in protective styling, because it helps you to cover your two textures. Like I said, transitioning is not really about big chopping, it's about growing out your natural hair when you have those damaged pieces of your hair still with you. So you have these two textures that you're dealing with, and when you're not careful, you might end up having raggedy looking hair, or your hair might just look out of place because you're dealing with two different textures and they look totally different. The other one is really curly and the other one is so straight, and now it just looks crazy. So for me, I used to do a lot of protective styling, but I used to maintain them in a certain way. I'm going to elaborate that in another episode of mine, how to take care of protective styles. Yeah, so when you do that, you cover that up, and you also give your hair time to grow, and you manipulate your hair less, which means you're going to retain your length more, and most likely you're going to reach your target. Okay, so you might ask yourself, how may I reach my target? Have a time frame. You might want to transition for 3 months, you might want to transition for 6 months. Personally, I won't lie to you, I didn't have a plan. My plan was to get these dead ends just, you know, chopped off, but pole pole, slowly, despacito, and all that, yeah? But I'd advise you to have a target, because if I had a target, I would have done my transition in around 9 months. However, my target was non-existent. But I'm going to advise you highly, because now you have this knowledge, to actually have a target and have a time frame. And I'm not saying that you must follow that time frame. strictly. I'm just saying you should have at least an idea of how long you're going to do this transition. You might decide to do it for, let's say, 6 months, and then uchoke. At 4 months, uamue tu, enough is enough. You are going down. Or even you may decide to do it for 6 months and end up doing it for 12 months. It's all up to you and how you feel. Someone will be asking themselves, how am I going to transition now that I have this knowledge in me and on my notebook? So how are you going to transition? Number one, avoid chemical processing. Chemical processing has a variety of examples, but I'm going to give you the most common ones. Mostly relaxers, keratin treatments, and hair dyes. Okay, I'm not saying that hair dye is bad, nor am I saying it's good. I'm just saying that when you dye your hair, most dyes have some harmful stroke toxic ingredients such as ammonia, and they tend to dry out your hair. And when your hair is dry, it means you're going to invest a lot in making sure your hair is moisturized. Most people who have dyed their hair blonde can tell you at some point their hair feels a bit brittle, and they feel like their hair is falling apart, so they just decide to do some protective styling, a few this and that, so that they can have their hair not break. But what I'm going to tell you is that you should not really dye your hair recklessly. You should have a certain brand that you trust, and you should check out for certain ingredients. And once again, I'm going to cover that in a separate episode on hair dyes and henna. Okay, so hair dyes dry your hair, thus more investment in moisturizing. I said that, which means you're going to use probably a lot of conditioner. You're going to really deep condition your hair. You need to do it, like, it's going to be like a ritual, if I'm going to describe it in a very precise manner. So yeah, I'm not really down for dyeing your hair, but I'll explain more on the hair dyeing in that episode, so stay tuned. Number two, avoid using heat. Okay, so someone will be asking, so nisipotumia moto, if I don't use heat on my hair, what am I supposed to be doing to my hair? I'll get to that. Avoid heat on your hair, because when you put heat on your hair, it breaks the hydrogen bonds located in the cortex of your hair, and those hydrogen bonds are the ones that bring up the curls. Sometimes like, Julissa, how do curls happen? Yes, in your hair there is more chemistry, and that chemistry involves bonds, and those bonds are hydrogen bonds. So when you infuse heat to your hair, you're going to be breaking a lot of bonds. I mean, back in school, I'm sure you learned that when you put heat in a substance, it most likely breaks the bonds of that substance. Mostly if it's water, that's why water behaves a certain way when it's exposed to heat. Yeah, by behaves a certain way, I mean boiling. Wow, today I am so not direct. Okay, so what I'm saying is that when you avoid using heat on your hair, you give your bonds time to recover, and you also give them time to be stronger. Okay, so when you avoid using heat, you get to have healthy hair. Your hair stops being thin. When you straighten your hair too much, you make it thin, and when you make your hair thin, your hair, despite being dense on your scalp, it will look less, and so you might end up thinking you don't have thick hair, when in real sense you have a lot of hair, but it's just thin. Another thing is diffusers. Diffusers are, oh my god, I did not tell you this. Diffusers are really, really crucial. But for me, I have a diffuser, but I don't use it that much, because sometimes I just prefer having my hair dry on its own. But diffusers make your life easier, especially if you have a hectic schedule where you have to go to school, to work, to this, to that. I'd advise you, if you have this really hectic schedule, just buy a diffuser. It's going to save you a lot of time. Another thing, you might be asking yourself, what are these low manipulation hairstyles I was talking about? We have the box braids, we have the braid outs, the twist outs, bantu knots, twists, braids. Like I said, when you manipulate your hair less, you make it break less, which means you give it a break. When you give your hair a break, it breathes. Just like most of us, sometimes we tend to leave, you know, you tend to seek space. You tend to want to be, you know, on your own, and you want to do your own thing. It's normal. And so does your hair. It also wants to have that space and have its own chance to bloom. So I'd rather you just don't over manipulate your hair. If you do braids, give some time to your hair, as in acha nywele yako ipumue. Kushuka nywele yako mara mingi haimaanishi itamea. Hey, kushuka, I know someone will come at me for that. Okay, kusuka nywele sana haimaanishi itamea, because it just means you are tugging at your scalp a lot, and when you do that, you weaken your hair. And mostly our hair ends, or the length of our hair, is usually the weakest, because it's older, it's been with you for a while, so it's been through a lot of manipulation that you have put it through, so it breaks fast. That's why unaweza fikiria nywele yako haimei, while in real sense it grows, just that you don't manage it properly, so it tends to break off at a certain length. You should deep condition and also introduce protein treatments to your hair regimen. Mostly, I told you, for an ideal process of deep conditioning, you need to do it weekly. And for protein treatments, you should do it monthly. Okay, this depends on your hair porosity. Like I told you, my hair is normal porosity, so I have some advantages where I can do protein treatments almost weekly. But for low porosity, please, if you are low porosity, do protein treatments monthly. I will explain that on another episode on protein treatments in relation to hair porosity. And why am I saying this is because your low porosity hair has quite a tight hair cuticle, so it's more prone to protein overload. So as you can see, I'm introducing new terms that might need a lot of elaboration, so just stay tuned for the episode that elaborates on protein treatments. When you deep condition your hair, it gets a certain type of glow. It also defines your curls. It also makes your hair shiny and more elastic, because when your hair is not elastic, it means your hair is not moisturized, so it will break off when you just pull it. Even the slightest amount of pull, you just see your hair breaking off. Protein treatments is another story, but you should balance. You should do deep conditioning, if not weekly, at least twice a month, and protein treatments should be monthly, until I explain how hair porosity affects you, so that you can get into protein treatments when you understand the procedure and what happens and why you should do this or that exactly. Now that you have decided to transition, you might ask yourself, how long have you decided to keep the dead ends? Have you decided 1 year, 3 months, 9 months? That's your decision. And don't let anyone pressure you. Don't let anyone be all over your face telling you, oh, cut it, do this. It's your hair. Your hair is your business. Okay. I've watched a certain woman on YouTube. Her name is Beauty by Gabby. This lady, wow, I want to share this story so bad. This lady did her transition for around, I think, 3 or 4 years, and her hair grew. Oh my god, her hair was long. By the time she was doing the chop, she had really long hair, it was past collarbone. And that's the thing about having healthy hair, it grows so fast and it grows so healthy. And another thing that this woman faced that she really talked about was the fact that she was really critiqued. She got a lot of negative motivation. She was getting ridiculed too by the natural hair community. Yo, cut those ends, you look ugly, do this, do that, do this, do that. But the thing is that she had a certain focus and she had decided that, yo, it's my hair and I'm going to transition for as long as I want. I know what I'm after. So I'm going to tell you this. When you transition your hair, you're going to go through a lot. Honestly, I won't lie. You have some people who have some expectations from you. I promise you, you're going to be, I'm not saying it's going to be a lot, you just have to be assertive, because by the end of the day, you only got you. It's about you. Your hair is yours. It doesn't belong to anyone else. But what I'm saying is that you're going to experience a lot of criticism, especially if you come from non-African countries. You may get a lot of discouragement, or even if you're in African countries, because many Africans, many people don't understand that kinky hair can also be beautiful, and others cannot understand why curly hair is going to be something that you want to have. It's your decision, sis, or bro, or whoever you are, whether you want to listen to the critics. It's all up to you, but I'd advise you to stand by your decision and do what makes you happy. I love talking to people. I love making them remember that it's up to them. Yeah? Okay, so I'm going to touch on a few things that you should expect during your transitioning journey. And number one, you're going to expect breakage, because you're dealing with two different textures, curly parts and straight parts, and whatever works for your curly parts might not really work for your straight parts, and whatever works for your straight parts might not also work for your curly parts. So expect breakage, because there's a little disagreement on those two. But I'd rather you just go chopping your straight ends slowly, so that you can also minimize the split ends. Another thing is that natural hair is simpler to deal with. So if you really get tired of having those dead ends, just cut them off. Yeah, it's up to you though. Cut them off, because some people don't like stress. So they just decide, you know what, I'll just cut this off and just proceed with my life. If that's the case, you just do it. It's up to you. And number three, we should expect a lot of bad hair days, because one, you don't really have a stable hair routine, you haven't found the right products, you don't really know which hairstyles work for you, you're not even sure what you want to do with your hair in the first place. So your hair days might be a bit not okay. So just expect them, but keep experimenting your hairstyles until you get something that works for you. Personally, I love twist outs. I also love wash and goes, because my hair just loves it for some reason. It loves twist outs and wash and goes. For someone, braid outs are magnificent. For me, my hair hates braid outs. For some reason, I don't really understand, but it just looks bad. So just look for something that works for you. I'm going to post a few examples of hairstyles that you can implement in your hair process, in your hair transitioning process, that you may just try to implement in your lifestyle, so that you can find something that really works for you. And also expect haters and be confident. I have talked about that. Don't really acknowledge them. The best way to deal with a troll is to ignore them. Okay, another thing is that you need to be persistent, find inspiration, and also keep focus. Okay, for me, how I do this is that I normally, whenever I'm having my wash days, I normally watch a few clips. Like, mostly I listen to Miss Bianca Renee. She's one of the curl enthusiasts that were just amazing. They just helped me in my transitioning journey, and I realized that I have two hair types on my head, and mostly for my crown to my temple it's 4A, and from there going back to my nape it's 4B. So 4B for me is dominant, and most of us may experience a looser front hair. Like, our front hair might be having looser curls or a certain texture that you don't really understand, but it's not really identical to the rest of your hair. It's normal. And also, when you are done with the transitioning process, you might find out that your hair has a certain shape. For me, I finished my transitioning, and I realized, like, whoa, my hair has a certain shape. My hair forces itself to have a bang. I normally have a tiny bang. Though my hair is not that long, it just likes coming to my forehead. There's this relationship between my hair and my forehead that I don't really understand, but it's a nice relationship and I like it. So yeah, another thing is that when you are transitioning, don't part your hair in specific areas. Like, if you're going to have a middle part, next time have a side part on the left, next time on the right. Don't have a permanent part, because when you do, you're going to damage your hair or maybe your scalp, because that place is really exposed and really manipulated. So regardless of what you do, your hair will always fall into that position. So that's something I should have added a long time ago, but I have, so better late than never. And like I said, keep focus, find inspiration. For me, I told you I will watch some other curly hair influencers. I also look at pictures. Also, I just take progress pictures and I look at them and I'm like, whoa, I'm getting there. So if by any chance you feel like you need some encouragement, you can also DM me. I have a lot of friends who tell me, hey Shabs, I'm almost giving up, and I'm just there to remind them that you are not there yet, but you're really, really close. You've come so far. So I'd advise you to just be persistent. Okay, if by any chance you happen to have an inquiry or a message or something to add or something to correct me on, you can leave a message on my podcast page, or you can also DM me on Instagram at Shapikas, once more, stroke Shapiro, because I answer my DMs and I also listen. I also want to interact with you people and see what works for you and what doesn't work for you, what you have understood and what you don't really understand. Because for me, growth is really one of my core values. I believe in positive criticism and constructive, you know, interactions where we share and where we also correct inaccurate information. So feel free to DM me, to message me, to, you know, talk to me and let me know what you need to understand or what you need me to clarify on. And thank you for listening to Shapikas, and it's been amazing talking to you guys, because I know I'm helping someone out here. And if by any chance you have anything to share, I'm always willing to listen. So thank you and stay tuned for more episodes on Shapikas. Bye.